Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. In those days, Mary arose and went with haste into the hill country to a town in Judah, and she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. Luke reveals to us a wonderful scene, tender and exciting and joyous. Mothers, babies, wombs, greetings, voices, words, exclamations, two pregnant women having a conversation about babies. Nothing unusual here, right? Happens all the time on the campus of Concordia Seminary. But of course, our gospel reading today is anything but usual. For old Elizabeth bears in her womb the mighty prophet John, already filled with the Holy Spirit, who is coming to prepare the way of the Lord. And young Mary bears in her womb the Son of the Most High God, who is coming to save you from your sins. Neither woman and neither womb should have had such joy. Luke begins his gospel by setting before us the story of Zechariah and Elizabeth. They had no child, Luke tells us, because Elizabeth was barren and both were advanced in years. And when the angel Gabriel appears to Zechariah in the temple and announces that Elizabeth will bear a son, Zechariah objects, "I am an old man and my wife is advanced in years." When Elizabeth conceives, Luke lets us in on her thoughts about the matter, and she says to herself, "The Lord has done this for me. He has taken away my reproach among the people." And when Gabriel visits Mary, the angel himself remarks, "Behold, your relative Elizabeth in her old age has also conceived a son, and this is the sixth month with her who was called barren." So by the time we come to our point in the text, our pericope, it couldn't be more clear that the womb in which the joyous little prophet John jumps had been a barren womb. The Greek word is styra, styra as in sterile, barren. Elizabeth's womb, Elizabeth, shouldn't have had such joy, couldn't have had such joy. Nor Mary, of course. When Mary comes into the gospel, Luke introduces her as a parthenos, a virgin, twice in one verse. God sent Gabriel to a virgin, betrothed to a man named Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. When Gabriel announces that she will have a child, Mary asks, "How will this be? I do not know a man." Mary's womb should not have had a child, couldn't have. Neither woman, neither womb should have had such joy. But nothing is impossible with God. There they stand in Zechariah's living room, gazing into one another's faces, looking at one another's bellies in marvel and praise and joy. There they stand, Mary and Elizabeth. They themselves, the miraculous offspring of their mother Eve, who was as good as dead after her sin in the garden, but by the miraculous mercy of God, was made to be the mother of all the living. There they stand, Mary and Elizabeth. They themselves, the miraculous offspring of their mother, Sarah, their barren ancestor, who in her old age gave birth to Isaac, the son of promise. Here in Mary and Elizabeth, the ringing laughter of Sarah, transformed from bitter doubt to utter joy, echoes forth again in Israel. There will be a fulfillment of what is spoken by the Lord. From a virgin womb comes the Christ. From a barren womb comes his greatest prophet. Out of nothing, ex nihilo, God creates everything in heaven and on earth. He speaks into darkness, light comes forth. God takes a nation of slaves, and behold, a kingdom of priests. He takes a people that is stiff-necked and idolatrous, and behold, a holy nation, the people of God. So yes, from a virgin and barren womb, God brings forth living, leaping children. Where there is nothing, our God works his everything. And they all ate and were satisfied, and the disciples picked up 12 basketfuls of the pieces that were left over. Where there is nothing, our God works his everything. Little girl, I say to you, arise. Son, your sins are forgiven. To Peter and the other disciples who were about to abandon and deny him, Jesus declares, I call you friends. And to the Apostle Paul, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. This God, this Lord in Mary's womb, he does this. He does these things out of nothing. And I am glad for that, because our world is barren. God has preserved much goodness around us, but we have worked such devastation. Christmases come and Christmases go, and each Christmas holds out in the music of the season, in the cards of the season, in the sentiment of the season, a prospect of something better, something that lingers in the air, entrances us, beckons to us. We long for some kind of enduring warmth and peace and brotherhood and charity among men in our world. We long for a togetherness, a sense of home, a sense that things are right and settled. And if we close our eyes, maybe for a moment, maybe if we turn on some Christmas music and really try to get into the mode and listen and try to grab a hold of that sense, or maybe if we close our eyes, we can try to conjure up that sense with some memories of childhood Christmases past, if we have good memories of Christmases past. But as soon as we open our eyes, we see the barrenness. Love grown cold, violence, selfish ambition and jealousy, unbelief, arrogance, sinful perversion, conflict and disputing, impatience with others, neglect of others, ignorance, aimlessness, such barrenness. And we see all of it every day. Usually by the time we are done brushing our teeth, we see all of this looking out at us from the mirrors in our bathrooms. But in Zechariah's living room, there is joy leaping in a barren womb. John leaps for joy not merely because God has worked miracles of conception, but because of who it is that has been conceived in the womb of Mary. In the words of Mary's greeting, Spirit-filled Elizabeth and Spirit-filled John perceive the advent of their Messiah, Elizabeth's Lord, John's Lord, our Lord, the Lord. Mary is doing her greeting. Elizabeth is exclaiming in praise with a loud voice. John is leaping. Jesus has come. There these women stand, looking at one another. What joy! What a thing to share! What a story to find themselves together in the midst of! What a visit they must have had. Today, before we head off this weekend to our Christmases in various directions, we gather here for the Eucharist. We have the joy of standing here together. We have the joy of praising God together in a loud voice. We have the joy of sharing together in this feast, this moment, this visit, again today. In his word and in his body and blood, our Lord Jesus comes to us just as truly as he came into Zacharias' living room, and just as hidden. And the mother of our Lord, Mary, She comes to share in the joy of this visit. Elizabeth as well. John the Baptist, he comes to share in our joy in Christ. And many children of Abraham and Sarah join with us. Thousands and thousands of the offspring of Sarah's barren womb. And thousands of those born, not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh or the will of man, but born of God to faith in Christ, the saints who have gone before us. And angels. Gabriel comes to join, and a countless heavenly host. For today we commune with Christ, with one another, and with all who are in him and with him. What joy. What a thing to share. What a story to find ourselves together in the midst of. For God has taken flesh in the womb of a virgin, and in Christ, every barrenness must give way to fruitfulness and joy. Come today, Lord Jesus, bring joy to our barren hearts. Come quickly, Lord Jesus, and bring your never-ending joy to our barren world. Amen.